Father, we thank you again for your precious word. And this lesson seems so insignificant. And who cares about all these names and gates? And yet, Lord, you have a purpose behind the whole thing. Every detail of your word is so precious, and we need to look at it and not just shove it away. So help us today, Lord, to get something out of this, and we'll simply give you all the praise for what you will do. Did you happen to notice that the high priest was the first person mentioned by Nehemiah? And you say to yourself, so? But then remember, it took two high priests, one retired and the other one on their throne, that put Jesus on the cross. And sometimes you have to think that through, because the high priest kind of felt very important. Sometimes they wore very special clothes and all of that. So for him to be mentioned. But there's another point there, that if you're in a church and you've been given an assignment, then you need to carry it out with action. It may not be spiritual, but you need to carry it out with action and not say, I'm too important. That's what the Lord wants from us. The sheep gate was the gate used to bring sheep into the city of the temple for sacrifices. Now, was it just for sheep, or was it for other animals? Of course, it was for other animals. They would sometimes sacrifice a bull, or they would sacrifice goats, but it was called the sheep gate. And so Nehemiah was so wise, he would place these people close to wherever their job was. So as they were building, they would take more effort in it because it had their name reflected on it. I thought that was kind of interesting. Nehemiah was, the more I study him, the more amazing he becomes to me. So he had the priests repair this gate and the section of the wall. They were very interested in making it solid. No just whitewash walls. He wanted these walls to last. And of course, he, at the same time, because the priests were involved with the this gate and the walls, it would show the emphasis was on worship. I think today that's something that we're missing out on. Well, all the citizens of Jerusalem did their part in this huge job of rebuilding the city wall. And I think the map that we gave you there, it's a colored map, and it also has all the gates on it. Well, most of them. Nehemiah left off a couple. It really shows how when they all got involved in it, they really got something done. They had to have teamwork. And I was thinking about that in our churches today. Now, I haven't looked at our attendance slips, but I know we're mostly from all different churches, at least the leaders are. And I like that. And we come with different ideas. We come, you know, helping each other. And so often we miss out. Unless we're a blend. I was thinking about our churches. So when I say church, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. We all need to exercise our gift, exercise what abilities we have. And that question on your lesson, which to me is the most important one, is about prayer. That's the most important ministry in any church. So it's real easy for you and I to say, I can't pray. And I have to think to myself, why not? So how are you serving the Lord in your particular church? How are you serving God? Think about it. In money or time. Jerusalem was a large, very large city. And that's really the easy answer for that question. Why were there so many gates? Large city. So there are gates all the way around. And of course, one day those will gates and thrones and all kinds of things will be named after the apostles as well as Jacob's sons. Interesting. I just finished reading about Jacob's sons. And you think, how can God use any of those guys? So, except Joseph. So, well, the wall on each side had these huge wooden gates, and they had been burned. Remember when we were studying Daniel? And they had been burned, and they took all the best men, and they took them off to Babylon. And on top of that would be an area where he could put soldiers to guard. And I just find it really strange that all these people went back to Jerusalem and they weren't thinking about protection. There was a gal here last week who says, what about the walls? Why didn't they start building the walls first? Boy, it beats me. Because if I had been a wife, who cares about a paneled house if your city is being overrun by others, by soldiers? Wouldn't you start there? And the city gates were the hub of the activity in the city. This is where they would decide things. This is where judges would make decisions. In any event, they made the decision, Boaz did, to marrying Ruth because of the decision that was made in the city gates. But they had city councils there. They had all kinds of things. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it's kind of interesting because when you come in through the gate and you come down into the city, there's all these people selling things. I had never been to an outdoor meat market. Would not recommend it. However, it was worse in Indonesia. There was meat there that I had never seen before. It was different colors. Purple meat. And of course, the flies were just rampant. So I thought, good old Safeway. Yeah, it's safety because people keep eating it. Well, one of the main roads entered through the fish gate. So the merchants from Tyre and Sea of Galilee and other fishing areas would enter the fish gate in order to sell their wares. You needed to be speedy to not be smelly. If anybody knows how they kept it fresh, let me know. It'll get your salty fish there. Did you realize that Nehemiah was concerned about only one thing, and that was the glory of God? I thought about that afterwards. He wasn't concerned about being the cup bearer for the king. He was concerned about God's glory. Let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we are no more a reproach. The Jews had said that God loved the gates of Jerusalem and Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So if God loved these gates so much, why were the walls ruined and the gates all burned? Again, what's with these people that they don't get the priorities straight? But that's just how I observed it. Why didn't the Jews do something? For the most part, the world today ignores the church. Did you ever notice that? Except in certain areas where they are persecuted, we certainly today kind of ignore the church. It doesn't pay, the world just doesn't pay much attention to it. Or if it does, it'll condemn it or mock it. Do you remember back when all the scandals were going on? It was so embarrassing. It was constantly being shown on television. It was just grievous. But I think, and you can throw rocks tomorrow, that there's a lot of churches where the glory has departed. People don't like hearing that. It just gone because people aren't interested in doing it God's way or paying any attention to the Holy Spirit. And then at that time, it seemed like there was an aggrandizement of pastors. They are placed on pedestals or organizations, this organization over that organization. Well, Jesus said in John 17, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I manifested your name. You know, we forget that each one of us are going to stand before the Lord one day. What will you say? Because he has a special task for each of us. And then you say, well, I can't do that because I'm not strong enough. Or I can't do that because I don't have... And then you'd have to go back to what the Lord said and ask him what he wants you to do. And I say, becoming a prayer warrior is one of the most important ministries in any church. Start there. Too many of us are kind of believers that are content. I have my seat in church, and I have a pillow there, or I'll bring my pillow. And you make a beeline, and you put some money in the collection because you don't want the church to go bankrupt, and all the wrong ideas about church. Go to meet the Lord. That's what you should be doing. Well, Nehemiah arrived on the scene and challenged them to rebuild the city to the glory of God. That really changes things, doesn't it? And if anybody can figure out how the daughters helped there, lifting those big stones, please let me know, because I have no idea how that happened. Didn't you love it where there was goldsmiths and perfumers that were building these walls? And you say, why did they need perfumers? Well, I don't think they had deodorant in those days. So they had a big business. I don't know. Well, each member was an important person. I remember when there was somebody out of state that had this great big ministry, and everybody went there to see how he was running things. And then about 3 years later, he came out and said that was the biggest mistake he had ever made. And here all these churches across the country were not looking to the Lord, but they were looking to this man. Why he was so successful, why there were so many people in his church, and then he realizes he's gone down the wrong path. Or you might have been like somebody I know that is really smart, went to Bible school, and she can lead music, and she can also teach Sunday school. And she can also handle the books, and she can also handle this and that, until the pastor absolutely wore her out. And she hasn't been back in church for, about a year and a half. And those are things people need to pray over and think about. Please don't say yes to everything that you're asked to do. You're taking away somebody else's job. And that job needs to go to somebody that needs to exercise it. Remember, Paul told us that we are like a body. We don't all have the best parts. But we're like a body, and it's necessary to have every part. You can't just say, well, I don't think my feet look real good. I'll just take them off today. Or I don't think this is any good. But Paul says it all has to work together and for the glory of God. Keep coming back for the glory of God. Don't get distracted. And wasn't that a nuisance to have to count all those things? Don't you hate questions like that? repair, 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 and then you get something else. But when you see something being repeated, the Lord wants us to look at that. And so don't get it lightly. I thought how they locked their gates was interesting too. There was locks and bars to keep people out. But it wasn't looking for some clever invention to get everybody into Jerusalem to go to the temple. And that was a period of time in our churches where people were looking for some invention to get people to come into our churches. You know, if you just serve the Lord, if you just love Him, you can be a Nehemiah if the glory is to go to the Lord. Don't ever forget that. The Jerusalem gates were destroyed by fire, and the safety of the people had to be considered. God uses all kinds of people. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Nehemiah is a cupbearer. When you do next week's lesson, remember, he was the fellow that would hand the cup to the king. You might lose sight of that because you're going to have to hold a sword in one hand and you're going to have to hold a stone in the other hand to get this thing fixed, and so that the Jews would not be a reproach anymore. And I think that's so true for churches too. Very, very careful of not taking somebody else's job, because they'll be lost without it or feel defeated without it. And it's very easy to step in. Please remember this gal I was telling you about who's not been back to church because of being overworked. But God uses all kinds of people, and that's kind of fun. The Tekoites, they lived down in Jericho. This was 11 miles from Jerusalem, and it's all uphill. And they would have to go 11 miles. Now, I don't know if they had horses or donkeys or just what. Maybe they had to walk every day in order to help work on the whole wall. Would you walk 11 miles? For me, I'd have to rest all the time. Or I'd hire somebody to cruise me into Jerusalem. But it was a real contrast to the local aristocrats. Again, you put an outfit on and suddenly you're a very important person. And what? You want me to lay stones, or you want me to smooth out cement? Not on your life. Whereas these guys from Tekoite, they came up after an 11-mile walk and went to work. Just think about it. You know, you just can't outdo the Lord. And the sheep gate was near the temple area, and the priests took care of bringing in the animals. Sometimes it was called the sanctified gate, because sanctified gate, because it was dedicated to God, and these sheep were brought in for sacrifice. If you get behind some of this stuff, it makes it very interesting. Long as I didn't have to make you use any of these people's names, just figure you're ahead. And then you come up with a some questions. We'll see how fun we could have with it. Anyway, but the main thing is, when you kind of back away from it, is you remember that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And it's here that He will lay down His life. Nothing is said about the locks or the bars that are on these gates for the sheep gate, because it was never closed. It was always open so that you could enter in. And just remember that. The Lord doesn't discount anybody. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about your sins. That's your issue with the Lord. but he never turns anybody away. He never locks anyone out. As I say, we have an amazing Savior. I've got all these gates down here. Fish Gate, let's see, Old Gate, Mishnah Gate. But the old gate led into a new quarter. And something kind of popped up in my mind with this lesson is that we don't have to try something new. We don't have to try something new in our churches to get people to come to church. You simply give out the truth. Give out the Word of God. That's what people are hungry for. They don't need, some of the strange things that have happened in churches. But just remember that. You and the Word. You and the Word. That's the important thing. Then they had the Valley Gate. And this is where Nehemiah had been stuck with his donkey. But this also went up to the Dung Gate. And you don't need any explanation about the Dung Gate. If you've ever been to Ephesus, Ephesus has they have a very interesting place where men and women go potty in an area and the local news is read while they're going potty. And then there is a gutter outside that goes all the way down until it has a place where it goes. And I don't know if Jerusalem was set up that way, but it is so important, hygienically speaking, it is the most important thing of a city. And I thought, I don't think I'd like living there. Oh, wow. But this opened up into the Valley of Hinnom. And if you remember when you were Jesus, and that's how he talked about hell. The worm never went out. Fire never went out. It was this was his image of hell. And gotta look at the Valley Gate because it opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. If you want something from the Lord, if you need understanding, if you need wisdom, you've just got to humble yourself before the Lord. So as we only yield to Christ and serve others, that we can truly enter into the fullness of life that he has for us. But the Dung Gate was a main exit to the Valley of Hinnom, and the identification of the area is how Christ used it. And that if you need a verse for that, that's found in Mark 9:44. Sanitation, remember that always. So it's the health of the city. Well, then they had the Fountain Gate, the Gihon Spring. This fed the water in the system to the people of the city. And something I had never thought about before is that Jerusalem, the ancient city, wasn't found on a river. I hadn't even thought about that. But all ancient cities were always built or founded on a river. And you can imagine how important water was. So, because the city depended on reservoirs. And of course, Hezekiah built this underground tunnel to bring water into the city. He was very bright, very wise. And again, we can look at this Fountain Gate as the Spirit of God. The Water Gate reminds us of the Word of God. And it was never in need of repair. The Word of God stands forever and will not need to be repaired or improved. It's final. The one thing I didn't know much about was the Ophel. The Ophel was simply a little hill. And the fellows that worked in the temple This is where they lived. So that's why it's mentioned here. And it would serve them. Then you have the horse's gate. We're reminded in Scripture not to trust in horses or chariots. So if your car is in the garage, which often happens, and I think, I'm not supposed to trust in you. But it also reminds us there's a warfare going on in the Christian life. Always be ready to do battle. And where would you find that? That would be found in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and following. And you get the armor of God and so on. I shouldn't underestimate the battle or the warfare. It will be always pursuing you. And when some strange things happen, know the enemy is busy. Anyway, so Nehemiah goes on, and there's a place for inspection of the troops, though they're not mentioned. And in Nehemiah's record, there's there's no mention of the gate of Ephraim. It is, and it may have been the gate of the guard. No one person could accomplish the work of repairing the walls. I hope you're beginning to see how intense the repair of all these walls. And you say, well, so, but it gives us a lot of direction for working in our churches, doing the best you can for the glory of God. And people in the world are ever going to consider the church, we've got to work together. We need to finish the work to the glory of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nehemiah's record ends with the sheep gate. He starts with the sheep gate, he ends with the sheep gate, the place where it all began. And I think that's the place where it all begins for us. Because the Jews have rejected their Messiah, the people of Israel today have no sacrifice, they have no temple, they have no priesthood. But one day, that's going to come to pass where they're going to have a temple. I believe this is the third temple, and I believe it is the Antichrist's temple. And then there'll be a fourth one, which will be Ezekiel's temple. And you can fight with me if you want, and use little rocks if you want. But I have a good time when I'm studying the word. But I'm always open for argument. If you want to know more about this, Zechariah 12:10 will give you more information as how the Jews will come alive when they see their Messiah and they will believe. But they're going to have some pretty hard times ahead of them. But today, of course, Jews for Jesus, people are probably the best believers in the world. The Lord will open their understanding and they'll come to Christ. Well, you say, they rejected Christ on the cross? Yes, as a nation. But many, many came to the Lord. Our Bible is written by Jews. And don't discount that. That it's in his hands. It's his business. But I feel, personally, if there isn't any hope for Israel, then there's no hope for the church, because we're such winners. You know, we're not such winners. We need the Lord. Today you may have come here and you may not know the Lord. You may have religion. A lot of us, like myself, grew up with a lot of religion. And we want the truth. We want God's word. We want to understand it. We want to know him. And if that isn't in your programming, if that isn't in your heart, then relook at it today and get on your knees with the Lord and tell him you want to know him. You want your sins forgiven. You want to be the person that He wants you to be and to exercise your gift in your church. Father, we just give you all the praise for Nehemiah. Teach us, Lord, as we get into it each week. May it be a whole new understanding. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.